Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening to It's Time. And now, a special offer for all my listeners. I've been enjoying doing the championship audios and video introductions you've been ordering through BruceBuffer.com. Also, all the special occasions like weddings, birth of babies, you name it, I do it. Your wish is my command. So with that being said, for my friend TJ, let me show you how it's done. And now, it's time! Introducing the champion! Fighting out of the red corner, he is a champion podcaster! He stands 6 feet tall, at a weight of whatever he wants, presenting the producing champion of the world, TJ DeSantis! Your wish is my command. I can't wait to hear from you.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. No holds barred radio, folks. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, President Trump, politics, COVID-19, everything going on in the world, we talk about it because we have to. And on the show this week, we will cover many, many subjects, but we are going to talk about the UFC, its success in Vegas last weekend, its success due to be happening in Vegas next weekend, the weekend after, and then on to Fight Island. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. Hi, TJ. How are you?
Hey, Buff. How are you? I'm great.
I'm good. Busy, busy, busy. Lots happening. We'll talk about it. And also, Monty Cox is back with us. Monty, you were on a few weeks ago. It's great to have you back.
Of course.
Aside from being one of the more interesting people in the world, or maybe not the most interesting man in the world, the bottom line is, we just got off a show that where we had no audience, our 1, 2, 3, 3rd UFC with no audience, of which I've done 2, and that will continue till further notice. But I wanted to have you back on the show because you are an MMA promoter. You've promoted hundreds, maybe thousands of shows and fights,
a little over 600.
Which is crazy, by the way. You almost undersell it by saying that he's done thousands and then we have to settle for 600. But think about that. Think about how many hours just go into one show. Bonkers. Well, 600.
Let's take 600 shows times 10 fights. 6,000 fights.
Right.
Right? Unreal. And you've had everybody in the name of MMA fight for you who's fought in the UFC. And, of course, what I wanted to talk to you about is upcoming is you have a kickboxing event, which, if I'm not mistaken, the main card, it's Pat Miletich, the great Pat Miletich, legendary Pat Miletich, against who was one of the best boxers of his day, which is Michael Nunn.
Yeah.
Right? First question, boxing, I'm sure Nunn has the advantage.
Of course.
How did you get Michael Nunn to agree to take leg kicks?
Well, it just was one of, he wanted to do the fight. And it you know, this all came about, they came to watch one of my shows. And I know Michael very well because when I was the editor of the newspaper, I traveled with him. So I went and watched his fights in Ecuador and Mexico City, all over, you know, lots of them in Vegas. So I know him very well, and of course I know Pat. So we were all together, and Nunn said, "Hey, why don't you set me up a fight?" And Pat goes, "Well, you know, I'm in great shape. Set me up a fight." And I was laughing about it, and I said, "You know, the best fight would be if you'd fight each other." I said that I could sell, and it was a joke. And they just kind of looked at each other and go, "Yeah, we do that." Well, then the antennas went up, and I started thinking I could sell that. And now we've gotten to this far.
Well, you know, you got Pat Miletich. He's 5'10". He's 52.
Michael Nunn, is he still 5'10"?
I don't think he's 5'10".
I was going to say, that seems a little bit on the generous side of things.
Let's go. Let's go 5'9". Okay.
Yeah.
He's 52.
Still nice.
Right. Great shape. Pat's always in great shape. Pat's in shape 365 days a year.
Right.
Then you got Michael Nunn, who's 6'1" and 57. Okay. So now first we got to get medicals, doctors to clear, which I would assume will be done for each of them.
We already did.
Your experience with Michael Nunn, is Michael Nunn actively, or do you know if he's actively training to perform leg kicks and to check leg kicks?
I haven't actually been there to watch him train. I know he is training, and he was even before this came about, his idea, you know, when he got out of prison, was he was going to give it one more try and see if he could get a big money fight. And in the last week, someone called, Roy Jones people called him, and they're talking about maybe $5 million to fight Roy Jones in Europe.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Let's just stop right there for 1 second. Okay. $5 million. Michael Nunn to receive $5 million to fight Roy Jones.
Yeah, that's what the guy that called him was talking about.
I got that. I would definitely do a check on the background. I hope it is $5 million. I hope he makes $5 million if it happens. Michael just got out of jail in February of 2019, right, serving up to what would have been a 24-year prison sentence for drug trafficking, which, you know, served a sentence. Right out of the gate, walks out, and somebody's going to throw $5 million cash on the table. Do you believe that to be true, Monty?
Well, I know that I see the numbers that they were offering Tyson and stuff, that the reported numbers of $20 million.
Little different. I'm sorry. All respect to Michael Nunn. Little different. Go ahead.
I understand, but I'm just saying, I'm looking at those numbers, and when Michael was at the best, he was the number one rated pound for pound fighter in the world.
Yes,
he was 35-0, and he was the first middleweight and under to start making $1 million a fight. He was the very first one. So he's used to getting paid. He was offered before this, when he was in his prime, $7 million to fight Nigel Benn. So, I mean, it's not like he isn't a star. And the thing is, they love him in Europe.
Big difference.
And in Europe, if they seem to want it. If it's $1 million, it's a ton of money for Michael, right?
Of course. That's my
the point. That's the money that they talked to him about. And so what he wanted to do is come out and show that he can move around, punch. You know, this is those guys are going to be looking very closely at him to see is this a guy that we want to spend money on, or can he not move anymore?
So you're saying they're going to look at him before they make the offer?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Of course.
So this becomes very important. This is not just a, hey, we're in my hometown, you know, hey, buddy, let's do this. He's got to look good. So he's got a lot of pressure on him.
Got it. So, you know, and granted, I hope he makes it. I hope he gets the $5 million. But one thing I will agree with you on, not that I'm not disagreeing with you on anything, and I'm not, because what happens, happens, right? The proof is in the pudding. But the bottom line is, in Europe, because I work with European promoters, you know, for many, many years. And of course, with Eddie Hearn for the last couple of years, because Michael's been exclusive to Matchroom Boxing. But you and I both know the kind of crowds they pull in for boxing events in Europe. I mean, sure, granted, big matches here with Floyd Mayweather, you know, outsells and sells out the Thomas Mack, or excuse me, the T-Mobile, wherever they're at. In Europe, 40,000, 50,000, soccer stadiums, 80,000. It's amazing. And yes, if you are a legendary boxer or a boxer of note like Michael Nunn, with all the pedigree that's needed to make that kind of money, they hold on to that. So yes, they there really can be do. A possibility. Yeah.
You know, Japan's kind of like that, where they revere their legends, that, you know, they still got Aoki is still like the most famous wrestler. And my gosh, I don't know how old he is or how long it's been since he competed, but he's in his 70s at least.
I think he's 150.
Yeah. He looks it.
I didn't mean that. He's been around forever.
I know he slapped at least 10,000 people, you know, for nothing else. You guys got slapped?
I did Inoki's 2003 Bombay event, which was in front of 55,000 or 45,000 people. Remember that New Year's Eve when they had the three events, when Hoist Gracie, Akimoto, or Aki, whatever his name
Akebono.
Was. Akebono, and everybody tuned into that. You know, they were watching us, watching this, and the main event for Hoist Gracie is like over half the population's watching the show. So that night we had it. We were in Kobe, Japan. And I remember Inoki came in and he slapped Josh Barnett. He did the two-con slap. So they're in the center of the ring. And I looked at it, and typical me running into the fight, I go, I'll do that, right? So I went in. Inoki looked at me, faced me down, gave me the slap. And, man, that slap is not light, okay? If he nailed me, okay? So my head did a little whip, which is fine. It was fun. I took it. It was good. But then the audience started running down, lining up. It became almost riot. Wise. I mean, I was like, what's going on here? I looked at Inoki. I said, you need to say something. He took the mic. He said something and they all went back and then they lined up very peacefully. Right. And then for 45 minutes, he commenced to slap the two-con slap. Everybody. It's a slap of, how do you say it? A slap of pride, a slap of respect.
I call it a slap. I think it's just a slap. Yeah.
He slapped men, women, pregnant women,
old women,
young kids, and it was just one after another. But as soon as this man spoke, he is a god there. They all listened. So anyway, that's my little note.
I figured, Monty, weren't you probably at that event? I think Rich Franklin fought at that same show.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Probably a night you don't want to remember, unfortunately.
It was so long since I was – there was about a 10-year span where I never celebrated New Year's in America. I was always in Japan with all the guys I had. But that was that's the first time I saw the lineup and some of the elderly, I mean, a 50 something year old woman, he slap her, knock her to the ground and she'd get up and just so happy.
Crying, you know, crying, happy, not crying from pain, crying from happy.
That's bonkers. Yeah. I mean, that's gotta be more fun than, you know, signing a bunch of autographs and taking photos for a celebrity. People are lining up like, slap me. It's like, all right. I mean, my hand's not going to get carpal tunnel from, you know, signing over and over again.
That might go over in Japan.
It's not happening here.
Where women walk behind men in Japan.
Yeah.
That will not go over here. You will have lawsuits. No.
Right.
Lawsuits will be flailing.
Right.
To
he slaps you. He slaps you. They slap you with a lawsuit.
Exactly.
Here they line up with their lawyers.
Exactly. So, Monty, here's the big thing. The big question here. I mean, I wish you all the best in this. And I love seeing, listen, Pat, I want to see Pat make the seven figures, right? I want to see all the boys make the seven figures. If this happens, when it happens, good shot. The big question here is that you're expecting a live audience.
Yeah.
Now, where is this going to be held and how is that happening? Huh?
In Iowa, actually, today, about 2 weeks ago, Iowa opened up large gatherings, still with the separation, but at 50% capacity. So the place that I'm fencing off to do this holds about 16,000. So I could do 8,000 and just make sure that they're separate. But today the governor lifted the 50%. I can now, as long as they're 6 feet apart, no more than 10 in a group, I'm allowed to do it.
How does that work? All the chairs have to be 6 feet apart?
What we're trying to get past, and I think we will, is as tickets are bought, like you buy ringside, your family buys 1 through 6.
Those six together.
Then you got to have 6 feet. And then, you know, if only two people buy, then there's two, and we just have to do it.
So it's pockets of people, essentially, like people that you're already exposed to. You try to remain only exposed to them.
Okay, let me ask you a few questions, Bonnie. I'm very big on the being careful, distancing, all the COVID-19 stuff in. They're already noticing, there are spikes happening everywhere where they have opened up and allowed the public to get together, whether it's through the protests that have happened, whether it's the states, especially the states that have opened. 19 states now are seeing spikes ever since this was allowed, okay, with the trend of new coronavirus, you know, things increasing, right? And other 24 states are trending downward, okay? So my question to you is, as a promoter, as a man of responsibility, right?
Right.
Is everyone going to be required to wear a mask?
I got to tell you, I don't know exactly what we're going to do. Normally, in Iowa, if you're outside, they haven't been doing the mask. Inside, you do. I think they're thinking that the 6 feet apart and all that kind of stuff will work. But Iowa is one that's down. They only had to have like 500 deaths in their entire, and not say only, of course, but I mean, compared to other states, they haven't had much of anything. I think yesterday they had two.
Yeah, it's not about Iowa though. It's about all the people coming in from the other states.
But what I think Monty is saying though is Monty's going to be complying with whatever local restrictions he's supposed to.
I know you will, Monty. I'm just asking because I'm asking from a standpoint of you as an individual, as a human being. Does it bother you that you may be subjecting people following all the guidelines? Does it bother you at all about that?
It does, and we talked about that on our show, TJ. That you know, I don't want to be the guy that facilitates somebody else dying, even if it's one person. But you get, you know, eventually you got to do your job, you know, and this is my job, and nobody has to come. I mean, this is not a. No one's forced. You have to actually pay to get here. So, you know, I'm just letting people make their own choices. And I'll put out, look, you know, remember, this is social distancing. You know, if you want to wear a mask, you know, all the different things. We'll have hand sanitizers and stuff around, things like that. But the way Iowa is moving, they may even get rid of the social distancing by July.
Right,
because nothing is happening.
Will you be testing fighters the way the UFC tests fighters?
I doubt it. I hate to say that, but this is just not a. I don't have that kind of money to go out and.
Yeah, it is expensive. Do it. There's no question. Yeah, it's very expensive.
Also, one thing too, I think that we need to keep in mind, like this isn't tomorrow. Like what are we at? Like 5 weeks out from this, Bonnie. So like. We're going to find out a lot more information on what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do within that time. I mean, knock on wood that this is still a possibility in 5 weeks. We have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, it's just like, you know, Dana with the Tachi Palace show, which was, you know, I was concerned about myself. I'm so much happier that I didn't get out to a UFC until Jacksonville in May. Those 4 weeks made all the difference in the world to me, along with the safety and protocol they put in place, which really made us feel safe. And of course, staying sequestered when I was there. Listen, Monty, if they say it's right and you can do what they say and you're following all the rules and everything and you're happy, I wish you a great show. But, you know, there are concerns and hopefully people as individuals will follow those concerns, because I'll give you an example. And again, I wish you all the best. I'm not
denying
anything. I was in Vegas last week. Okay. I went to Vegas with my friend, and she and I sequestered in the hotel and everything. We were all comfortable, and we ventured out just to take a look at the MGM, right, which was open. It opened the night before, and we were masked, glasses, gloves, covered, everything. Went in, didn't come in contact with people, went to the blackjack table that had the plexiglass and all that. It's there for about an hour, gamble, made a little bit of money, but one thing I noticed is that maybe 10% of the people were wearing masks and observing social distancing. So we got out of there. I wasn't comfortable in Vegas with people coming in from all over. It was just because it was new. It's starting now, and I hope that it stays calm and everything. But it's different. It is different.
And I think, Bruce, you're kind of hitting the nail on the head with all of this. Like, no matter what protocols are put in place or aren't put in place, we're at the mercy of how serious people take all of those protocols and how they conduct themselves. Because we
but
can have
not
this,
taking it seriously.
Well. Again,
no,
like
they're not, especially with all this rioting and everything. It's kind of just fallen by the wayside.
I mean, we live in a 24-hour news cycle, and with current events, you know, unfortunately, we've had some really bad things happen that the country has been focused on. And that's one thing that has taken a step back is a lot of people seem to have forgotten that we are still in a pandemic. And I understand why, but that doesn't mean that we can get careless yet. You know what I mean? So,
Well, it's going to be trial and error. It's going to be trial and error until the errors occur, and then it's going to be trial and error until the errors are solved.
Do you hear that? Buffer, like, you grew up in Philadelphia, and that's the first time I've heard your East Coast accent come out.
Where'd it come out?
Trial and error. You say trial and error like the 70s. It's trial in 1970s.
Well, I was born in the 1950s, so maybe that has something to do with it besides where I was raised. So.
I love it. I've never heard you have anything but, you know, that buffer cadence where, you know, you're delivering your words and, you know, undetectable as far as regions are concerned. And I don't know. I don't know if it's Philly, but that's something. That's not normal.
You should hear me after I go back to my hometown of Dallas, Texas for a few days.
Hey, y'all.
So, yeah. Hey, y'all.
It's time, y'all.
Well, listen, Monty. You're pushing forward as a, you know, right now you've gone from being a pioneer 25 years ago in this industry to now being a pioneer again, like Dana White's a pioneer. Okay. And everybody at UFC, it's because history is not written. History is being made. Right.
Yeah.
So you're about to make history. Everything goes well. Everything's safe. I wish you all the best. I hope the big money comes in and we'll take it from there. You want to hang with us while we talk about a few more things?
Oh, absolutely. And I was going to say that the one thing that happened when I put this thing out there is a lot of the people who came up with Pat, they're all calling me. They all want on the card. I mean, Jeremy Horn wants on the card. He hasn't fought in 5 years. And Travis Fulton wants on the card because he doesn't have enough fights.
Well, is it true that Fulton wants to fight 6 times on this event?
No kidding.
You know?
He's agreed to lessen it to 6.
Okay.
Well, how old is Travis now?
Huh?
How old is Travis now?
He's in his 40s, but I don't know exactly.
Gotcha. Tell Travis said hi. I haven't seen him in.
Oh. One of the toughest dudes on the planet, man. That guy will fight anybody.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. And so, but I'm getting all these guys, and I don't know what to really do with them. The plan was the undercard is really straight boxing, and we've got good boxers. We've got a 13-0 kid that's a prospect. We've got a kid that just made his debut a couple weeks ago that had three Golden Glove national titles. And you know, so we're going to have really good competitive boxing on the undercard, some kickboxing, and then the main event, which for our area, for the Quad Cities, this is you just couldn't write this script. It defies logic. You know, you have a boxing guy that grew up in Davenport, you know, and then an MMA guy who grew up in Bettendorf. And if people weren't familiar with the Quad Cities, they touch each other. You don't know. You go from Bettendorf to Davenport without knowing it. There's no sign. You know, sometimes there's a sign, but but they're very competitive. And to have those two legends do this, and now everyone says, can Pat get through Nunn's punches, and if we want to know if these fighters keep their power, ask Tim Sylvia.
Hey, I was just going to ask, where's Timmy on this card?
Let me say one thing. I hear Nunn's punch pretty hard. No, I'm just kidding.
any chance Tim would get on this card, Monty? Does Tim have any fighting aspirations?
You know, he's talking. I see him online about bare knuckle and stuff like that, but I don't think so. I think we'll probably see him in the corner.
You saw me shake my head just now when I hear bare knuckle. Okay. I was contacted by them. Yeah. I was contacted by them to announce, and they threw a boatload of money proposal potentially at me. Right. I just wasn't comfortable doing that. I thought I was going back to where I was in 1996, 95, you know? And when I see, and I understand and people are making money and they're good, but it just always makes me feel like the guy needs money every time I hear he's going to go into a bare knuckle fight.
It's just unnecessary. Like, I don't have a problem with bare knuckle from the standpoint of like concussive force or anything like that. I just think it's like, why do you want to break your hand and get cut up?
That's me. I don't. They just
money, 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 money.
Sure, but I mean, I guess that's what's unfortunate.
People want to see blood. They want to see it. Well, you're going to see it, and that's.
Are they still throwing out big tickets? Are they, because they were paying some pretty good money in the beginning. I have no idea if they're making money. I venture to guess there's a possibility maybe they're not even breaking even. I don't know. I mean,
well,
what do you think as a promoter?
They've been doing shows after shows, so there's still money there.
I think they started off, they did better on pay-per-view than they thought they would.
Good.
They certainly did better than I thought they would. I thought they were a one and out. But that didn't happen, and they come back, and they did pay pretty well. They paid some guys got more money there than they were getting when they left the UFC.
You know,
I heard it. I heard some of the persons. I don't want to quote them, but I heard something. Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me is that obviously, like, people are interested because it's bare knuckle and things like that. I just hope this doesn't carry over to people wanting to see Vale Tudo again. Because I don't think we need to see anything like that. You know what I mean?
Well, quite frankly, half the people that watch UFC right now are young and they don't even know what Vale Tudo is. But the old guys like us, we do. Hey, listen, guys, let's go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, you tell the people nowadays that they used to do headbutts and they used to punch the groin and all that stuff. They go, come on, you're lying.
Mark Coleman may have been undefeated if they never took away headbutts. I'm not even kidding. Like
there was nothing like watching Mark Coleman drop a headbutt into somebody. It was like so terrifying at times. It was like amazing. Oh yeah, yeah.
There were several guys back then that were absolutely made for headbutts. You know, Mark Kerr. I mean, that massive head.
Yeah.
You know, Pat Miletic. I mean, that thing's a coconut. I mean, he can destroy anything with it. You know, and they liked him. But I couldn't. That was just not for me.
It kind of makes sense. I mean, the crown of the head is so thick. Like, a lot of people don't even realize if you get hit on the crown of your head, like, it's just going to break someone's hand and you're going to walk right through it. So it makes sense to strike with that part of the body. But yeah, it's 2020. We don't need that.
Well, a lot of people, if you want to throw a headbutt, better know exactly what part of your head to hit it with. You're going to get knocked out.
That's true, too.
It's all good. I don't know if you guys remember, just real quick, remember Fujita?
Oh yeah, for sure.
When I was over there one time in Japan, they ran the paper ran a. I don't think it's an MRI. I guess just an X-ray of what a human skull looks like and the thickness. Then they ran what an ape's head looks like with the thickness, and then they ran Fujita in the middle, and there is no doubt which one he was closer to. I mean, he had a gigantic head, but his skull was like three times as thick as most people.
That's probably why he could take a punch the way he could.
That's why he took the punch, but he would have done well with headbutts.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible. All right, guys, let's move on a little bit here. And again, Monty, you're a great promoter, and I wish you all the best. I wish you all the best.
The Lexus NX is crafted to take on the modern adventure called life.
Alexa, what's the quickest route home?
With Amazon Alexa compatibility and the advanced Lexus safety system, the Lexus NX is modern utility for the modern world. Because modern obstacles require modern solutions. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Click the banner to discover more.
Amazon Alexa and all related logos are trademarks of Amazon.com Inc. or its affiliates. Not all Amazon Alexa functionality is available for in-vehicle use.
Seriously. Okay, and I know you want to hire me to announce, but you know I can't. So
TP offered to do it for $40.
There you go. No,
different kind of announcing. He wants to ring announce. I just want to talk for 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I think I need to negotiate TJ's deal. Sounds like he's possibly undercutting himself a little bit.
I can't believe Monty was going to charge me $40. I thought he'd at least get 80 out of it.
Fly himself in.
That's definitely not true. See, promoters are liars. Just filthy liars.
The big news in MMA coming up here. Obviously, there is the UFC card happening this weekend. It's in Las Vegas. Headlined by Jessica Eye and Cynthia Calvillo. Marvin Vettori and Carl Robertson coming in to do their thing, getting a rematch. Ray Borg coming back. God, Ray Borg just fought. Ray Borg coming back. Andre Feely, Charles Jourdain, Mark De La Rosa, and Jordan Espinosa. Like, there's some really good tight fights here. I will not be announcing in Vegas this weekend. I will be back on the 20th, 27th. But the big news yesterday that came out in MMA and the world of UFC is that Dana White made publicly and revealed Fight Island, the location. Okay. Monty, TJ, did you guess it was Yas Island, or did you think it was somewhere in Fiji or tropical?
I thought it was Costa Rica. That's what I thought Fight Island was going to be. But Yas Island makes sense.
I honestly didn't even think about it.
Okay. Well, you're too busy trying to put together, you know, a show with 17,000 people sitting together. Okay. So then anyway, it's Yas Island. You're going to have four shows. I will be there from I will do the shows on the 11th, the 13th. Excuse me. I forget. What am I doing here? First show is on the 11th, and then the 15th and the 18th, I'll be doing those shows. I will not be doing the one on the 25th, heading over to Fight Island. Don't know what to expect, although I do know what to expect. It's going to be hot. Okay, it's going to be hot. The Octagon's going to be on the beach. It's going to be an adventure, but the card is pretty amazing, right? They're working on locking in fights, you know, Fabricio Werdum versus Alex Gustafsson, Antonio Nogueira, Rogerio Nogueira, Shogun Hua, Whitaker and Darren Till, right? Kamaru Usman, Gilbert Burns, you know, Peter Yan, Jose Aldo, Jessica Andrade.
It's like Fantasy Fight Island. Like, honestly,
crazy.
These are super fights.
These are all great fights. You know, and of course, the big one, Alexander Volkanovski and Max Holloway. I mean, this is big stuff. So this is going to break the mold. We'll be doing the Vegas shows. I commend the UFC again, coming back from last weekend, on all the safety, the protocol. It was more in place. If you notice, Joe Rogan didn't even interview inside the octagon. He was doing it separate outside where they put the fighter in the back. The Nevada Athletic Commission and the governor of Nevada were all looking at this very closely. They did a great job, and now we're back next Saturday.
It looks like from, you know, watching on the outside in, Bruce, that the protocols actually get more stringent and more safe each time out, which, I mean, you would expect because you're, you know, getting more reps at it. But, I didn't see anyone that wasn't wearing a mask that was supposed to be wearing a mask. Like, almost everybody was masked unless you were – the referee, yourself, the fighters are on camera and commentary.
Let's put it this way. That is true. And at one point I got out of the octagon. I was working, get back to my desk and doing a little work. And Joe, our head of security, came over, Bruce. And I forgot I had the mask on. Believe me, everybody was being policed. I had to put my mask back on. As soon as I leave that octagon, I have it on. I walk in with it. And, you know, that's just the name of the game, guys. And they're doing a great job at doing that. We'll keep it going. And other sports organizations are taking note and following suit. But, Monty, you're right. It costs. I can't even imagine how much it costs. We were tested as soon as we arrived, had results by the next morning. And if you're not tested negative for COVID, you can't do anything. Luckily, to my knowledge, nobody tested positive.
I've heard the average cost for a COVID test is something like $250.
I went to my private doctor here, and I had another test 2 weeks ago because I wanted to get tested a week after I got back from the first show, even though I was going to get tested a week later. You know, I got to think about my mom and the people I'm around.
Yeah.
And I tested negative. It cost me $250, but that was the processing fee.
Rob, right? I mean, that's really what it is. Really what it is. I mean, come on now. What is it
doctors
really
gotta make? Doctors got to make money. That's all we know.
Right, yeah.
Well, hey, I got a quick question for you guys. So if everyone in the UFC, it's a small group by UFC standards, if they all get tested and they're all negative, why the masks? What at that point, if you're not introducing anybody new into your group, if you know you're all negative, what do the masks do?
Very simple. Very simple. Yeah. When you leave your room, when you walk out of the hotel to take a walk, when you go to a convenience store to buy something, if asymptomatic infection is true, which Dr. Fauci, after what had gone on this week, has said, you know, he's shaking, it's the asymptomatic infection is true.
Right.
So if you walk out with your mask, this, that, or the other, you touch something, you don't want, it just takes one contact, right? And then asymptomatically or whatever, you could possibly infect somebody around you. So protocol has to stay in place.
So if you touch it, and I'm not as good at this as I should be or as knowledgeable, but say I'm running my hand down a railing and I pick up something that was left. If I now sneeze on you, it goes that, or do I have to touch you?
If you touch your mouth, you touch your eyes, you touch your face, okay, and you get it. And then again, there's a gestation period, of course, but this is ultimate care. Yeah, you're from what I understand, it's at that point that you can transfer, you know, the virus.
Hey, can I flex my skills here as someone who gets paid to speak for a living and just answer Monty's question in one sentence? Do you ever point an unloaded gun at somebody? No.
I don't have a gun and I'm not allowed.
Right. Well, that's a completely different story. But yeah, like you just don't do it. You don't take unnecessary risks. So wear a mask.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they told us after we got tested, we were told that on Friday when we got tested, that we had to sequester ourselves. Said if you want to go out and check something up and go outside before. But once you're tested, you got to sequester yourself until the results come back.
Does everybody wear gloves?
Yes. Well, no. That's your choice personally. And again, gloves are fine. But remember, when you touch something, gloves get just as dirty. You can't touch your face and then you got to constantly change your gloves. Bottom line is wear a mask, wash your hands, use Purell, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Simple, simple, simple.
Yeah.
And keep distancing. That's the main thing. And Monty, a little bit of a dig, but after 3 to 4 months of this, if you have to ask that question, I think you better Google something and go read it. Okay.
I'm in Michigan. We're not allowed to leave our house.
I was just going to say, Monty doesn't go anywhere. So
I don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You sounded like the governor of Tennessee there for a second, or the other guy. What is it? I forget. How
dare you, Bruce?
Well, what did he say after 2 months? He finally said, I just realized that the virus can be transferred through the air.
Monty, Bruce is calling you a dummy right now.
I didn't say dummy. I did not say that. I said he sounded like that.
He's calling you an idiot right now.
I understand. I don't want to start bringing out stories or anything like that. I'm not Trump. I'm not going to get even. I'm going to let it go.
Hey, Monty, drink some bleach. Drink some bleach. You'll be fine.
I don't understand a lot of the stuff because Fauci will say one thing one day, and the next week it's something different. Then we're told this could be dangerous to stay inside.
Did you just call him Fauci?
But I'm locked up in here.
Did he call him Fauci? He called him Fauci. He's not a Muppet. Fauci. It's not Fauci Bear. You're right, Bruce. He's an idiot.
I didn't say that, but you did. But that's okay.
I love you, Monty. Monty's an amazing person.
Hey, guys, with all that's going
on. I didn't want him to tell me what to do. Don't go inside. Don't go outside. I got to do one of the two. I can't. I got to do one of them.
Yeah, just listen to Fauci Bear. You'll be fine.
All right, guys. As we move on here, you know, one of the good news is, you know, with the George Floyd Memorial Fund, I was looking because when I get orders for videos and audios, I told everybody charitable donations will be made to COVID-19, animal, military and children's side charities. So I was looking at the George Floyd Memorial Fund for his family. Their target was $1.5 million, and they have received so far, and good for them. It won't bring George Floyd back, but good for the family. And their people, $13,885,500 as of yesterday in the George Floyd Memorial Fund, which the target was $1.5 million. So, like I said, it won't bring the man back, but good for the family. So there we go on that. Michael Jordan has pledged over $100 million over 10 years to the black community, done that. People are really coming forward with donations, doing what they do. And this is great. You know, I mean, hopefully all the protests has created unity, has created a lot of things, and has done beneficial for us moving forward to help with the situation, and which this horrific incident that occurred, you know, caused amongst many other incidents in the past. That's all I can say about that. So good for the family. Things are rolling forward. Protests are being peaceful after the week of or whatever the days of things we were going through last week. And let's hope that it all stays that way. Right. And we all learn something positive moving forward to be the best we can be to everybody around us.
Real quick,
I did hear that Jordan's $100 million, he agreed to do it as long as none of it went to Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, well, you and I understand, and TJ understands what that is. Half our audience is going to go right over their head.
Everyone's watched The Last Dance. I think they know. I think more people know about Michael Jordan now than they did back in the day.
That's pretty incredible.
What I was going to say is you guys, I mean, you're ancient compared to me. I'm still young compared to both of you.
Did he just call us ancient, Monty? What the heck is that?
How can he look at two people with all this hair and call us names?
Son of a bitch. He got me there. That is very, very true.
Monty, I don't know about you, Monty, but I'm going to break out the six pack right now, okay?
Oh, God. Monty might do that too, but he already drank two of them, so it's a four pack.
Let's go with DJ.
Can you remember a more tumultuous year in your lives?
No.
Like, I can't, like, this has to be the strangest year of all of our existences, because I don't know if I could handle a more difficult, traumatizing year than this year.
Well, hopefully we all get stronger because of it, because it's not over. You know. Many people claim it's going to get worse before it gets better.
It's right. June! Think about that. Think about what we've done this year. It's June!
We're expecting it to bounce up again in November, God forbid, you know, and everything come forward.
Putting things into perspective, I was talking with a buddy last week, and he was like, do you realize that Kobe Bryant passed away this year? And it's like, wow, that seems like such a long time ago. But so much has happened since that major news story that it feels like it's been longer. And like, I just, when you have the year in review in December of this year, like, I don't even know how it's going to take you a whole year to explain what happened this year.
Yeah. You know, there's some good things that came out of it. I mean, I think, at least for me, that you definitely realize that we're way too dependent on China. And if that doesn't get fixed because of this, then, you know, we got the wrong people leading us. But, you know, some things like that are popping up, and 5 years down the road, a lot of this stuff will be a better country because of it. That's what I think.
You hope.
I hope, and I think so too. My biggest concern, Monty, and I even talked about this before COVID-19, is our younger generation and the effect it's having. It's not healthy. It's not good. It's depression, post-traumatic stress, all this kind of stuff coming in. We used to talk about how communication and socializing amongst the younger generation with the technology of texting, and maybe they're not talking as much as we did and all that. Now they're even dug deeper into a rabbit hole where they can't socialize properly with their friends and everything else. And yes, the virtual, the Zoom, they're back to the gaming, whatever the case might be. No proms. No growing up and the beauty of life and the experience you get and the changes you get when you go through your young stages of life, all that incurs.
That's a big concern of mine. No one's walking across the stage and getting their diploma. Like for parents, that's a really big thing. You know, when I was a senior in high school and I graduated, I could give a shit. Like I didn't even want to go, but I went because my parents wanted me to, and it meant something to my grandparents that were there. Like I really can't imagine what it would be like for me to not be able to have that moment for my son. And like it's sad. It's really sad to see what people have had to endure this year.
And you know, I mean, sports isn't everything, but it's a big part of our culture. And all those kids that were seniors, they were their last year.
Yeah.
After some kids that started at 4 years old playing baseball or whatever, they went all the way till they just getting ready to start their senior year in college.
Yep.
And think, it's done. It's like you're done.
And for those players that don't get to go to the next level, it's just an abrupt end that there's no ceremony. There's no pomp and circumstance to that final game. And that's really
sad. No senior night. No. There's no having your I was lucky in that my son graduated the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to do all those things. They honor them. They, you know, the parents come out. I mean, all those things that you look forward to as parents putting all the time in. And for most of them, it just ended.
Yeah, and you don't get that back. You can't get that back with your teammates or for your family. It's hard. I'm curious to see what some of the implications are for like professional drafts because of that. You know, college athletes not getting that final year in. It's gonna have lasting impacts much further than we even know.
I can't even sit back and I mean I've actually sat back and thought about this, and it really brings sadness to me. Mm. Thinking around the table, a family, wherever they're at with their son or their daughter, that's a major athlete, has a chance to go on to buy the house for the folks and get the contract and all that. And they're sitting around and you realize there's a time window here. Okay. Yeah. It's tragic. Well, it's tragic on so many different levels.
Talking about sports too.
The high school kids that could never go to college. They can't afford college, but they need that senior year for the scouts to see them and get a chance. And there's no senior year.
No.
You know how many graduation videos and audios I've been doing over the last month because of the virtual, ceremonies taking place?
I've heard so many, Bruce, that actually colleges are not accepting qualified applicants unless they've been graduated by you.
Well, I can think of about 50 or more that are going to make college. So that's a good thing.
There you go. Hey, one thing I'm curious. Have you guys seen that they're talking about starting up the basketball season again? Like basketball opens in like October. So what is game 7 of the NBA finals going to be a day before opening day? Like I don't know what's going to happen.
They're talking about starting almost right at the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
And just boom, playoffs and go.
Right, but what are they going to have, a month off?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, how does free agency and stuff work during all that? I don't...
Do your money thing, Bruce.
My money thing?
That's why they want to do it.
Well, speaking of money, there's going to be no baseball this year, and that is heartbreaking.
Yeah. Not if you're a Detroit Tiger fan, to be honest. This is the best we could have hoped for.
If there's no World Series champion, you can kind of claim that maybe you're the World Series champion. Why not?
We tied for it.
Raise the banner.
I can't remember if I said this on our show or not, but moving up here to Detroit, we now, out of the four major sports, we have the number one draft pick in three of them.
Really?
Wow.
It means we have the worst team in the entire league in three sports.
Well, I mean, you're at least
hockey,
good at
basketball, baseball.
You're good at being bad.
And in football, we did not finish last. There were like four teams worse than us.
Yeah, but they're still the Lions. So,
no, I know.
You know, let's just hope the best for everything. That's all I can say. We've got to get our pleasures. We've got to stay happy. We've got to stay strong. And I know I say this every show, but, you know, the bottom line is now during this time period, everybody should be getting in the best mental and physical shape they can. The world has changed. The world is going to be changing forever to a certain extent. We'll go back to normal to a large extent, but we got to be prepared for whatever we can do. And this is proof in the pudding. I don't care how old you are, young, old, indifferent. This is a mark of how strong we are as a generation.
It has to be.
Our generation, it has to be. The World War II generation is the greatest generation ever. Why? They went through the Depression. They went through World War II. They went through so much. And that's what makes them strong and made them strong. And we're going through a lot in 1 year right now, a lot. So I just wish the best for everybody. But
you're
I say that every show.
You're going to learn a lot about how resilient we are or aren't when this is all done, you know, so.
Yep, exactly. Speaking of resiliency, can you guys figure this out? They found a 110-million-year-old dinosaur, okay? They got the contents of its stomach, and they were able to figure out what the dinosaur ate. How do you figure that out after 110 million years?
It's got to be all fossilized in, like, stone, right?
So yeah, like, fossilized stone. They detected plant-based stuff, all this kind of stuff.
Was it McDonald's?
No, there was no Big Macs in there, no Egg McMuffins. Everything's good. Thank God he grew up healthy. Maybe that's why it stayed in his stomach for 110 years.
I heard those fries will stay around forever.
Yeah, they can stay around forever.
It's funny about that. Those fries, they only last about 2 minutes when I'm around them. I don't.
Oh, jeez. Another great white attack I see here, Australia. Another one, another surfer went down in Australia and a great white attack. That's always something we talk about on the show, not out of happiness, but 60-year-old surfer.
Wow, 60.
60-year-old surfer, 10-foot-long great white. They even have a picture here when the ski passes over a shark swimming along the coast here. Went out. They tried to rush and help him, but at 60, he couldn't survive the bite.
It bit his leg, right? It made it sound like they basically almost bit it off, and there was no too much blood. Just
you bite the leg like that, you're probably going to hit the femoral artery, which, you know, is just a matter of quick time.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a day of social unrest. We live in a day of PC, politically correctness, and more so than ever, and things are changing daily. Did you read where the man that started, you ever watch The Flash?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they found a bunch of obsessive tweets, and that's a hit show. He got fired. He got fired. Well, he got canned.
Those tweets were pretty out of line.
I don't even want to repeat them. I'm not going to talk about them.
Yeah,
on the
show.
Don't. No.
I wanted to read them because I thought, come on, what could have you said? Did you really have to fire him? And I read like three, and I'm like, damn, can that guy? Like,
right, yeah. I mean,
well, you have another situation where the LA Galaxy, their midfielder, Alexander Katai, he got fired, not because he wrote the post, because his wife shared racist and violent social media posts. So now he got fired.
Do people forget that people read the internet? Like, I'm confused on how they can be this crazy. I mean, I guess they're that crazy to think that way to begin with, but what are you doing?
You know, he even came out and went against her and said, these are not my thoughts.
Right.
These are not, you know, he did. I didn't know she did them. They were done in a foreign language. How do you can him for that?
Look, do the parents get arrested when the children under 18 commit crimes? Do the parents suffer the results of everybody else? You're a fan. It's the way they look at it. I'm not saying I agree with it, but in essence, to a certain extent, I do. But you never know.
There's a great movie out there. It's probably been out now for 10 years called The Social Network. And in the film, there's a quote that says something along the lines of, just remember that the internet is printed in ink. And I think a lot of people forget that, because even if you delete something, it's not deleted. It's there, and it will come back and bite you in the ass.
Totally, and that's what it did. Now, speaking of coming back, have you guys seen the B Water tribute to Bruce Lee?
I've seen the clips that have been on the UFC broadcast, but I haven't seen it yet.
I heard some negative stuff about it.
Yeah, there'll be some negative stuff about it, of course. But, you know, the other thing that came out, he was a child actor. He was a child star in China. I never knew
that. Really? I didn't know that either.
His father was in the theater and an actor, too. He grew up in the theater, right? And he, you know, how he got into martial art. It's a fascinating. I was fascinated because it had information I've never seen before.
That's great.
So I highly recommend it.
I mean, the Bruce Lee narrative has been told a million times over. So if you got something new out of it, that says something.
It is. Loaded with new stuff from beginning to end. I recommend it to everybody to watch. And then Ariel Helwani had about six of us, including Michelle Watterson, myself, Adesanya, and others, to commenting about, you know, experiences or what Bruce Lee meant to us. I was alive when Bruce Lee was alive, and I talk about my experience with him and, of course, my friendship with Steve McQueen, who we used to train. And Bruce died the year before I met Steve. And the one thing I mentioned in the piece with Ariel is that when I walk into McQueen's house, he had a plaque on the wall that was a Jeet Kune Do award signed by Bruce Lee to Steve McQueen.
Wow.
It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And I have tried forever to get this from Chad, being the collector I am. Haven't yet. Someday I will. I may have to, like, walk out of his house with it when he's not looking. It's just too cool for school. It's really cool. Hey, TJ, do you have the Logan Paul video by chance?
Yeah, we'll play it on the way out here. I can't do it when we're
No, we're
live,
gonna, we're going to close out the show. We're going to close out the show.
I wanted to say one thing, Bruce. Steve McQueen, I watched a documentary on TV on the Smithsonian Channel, and they talked about the filming of The Great Escape. And when it came in, Steve McQueen says, I want to do my own motorcycle stuff. And so there's a scene where he pulls up, stops, and then takes off over the hills. Well, they couldn't get anyone there to come even close to him. They're supposed to be chasing him, and he's so far ahead. They went out and they got two Austrian professional motorcyclists to chase him, and the same thing happened. He was so far ahead, what they had to do was he went over the hill. Then he drove all the way back around, changed uniforms, and chased himself. It was the only way they could make it look close.
That's interesting because, you know, look, McQueen was a champion motorcycle rider, car driver, drove Le Mans with a broken foot, right? Used to be all the time out on weekends on his bikes, riding with his buddies, everything. Chad, his son, became a national champion in motocross at like age 12 or something like that. Crazy. And they used to try to get me to ride motorcycles all the time. But I knew myself back then. I said, I will kill myself. I know my personality. If I do what you guys, I'm just expecting the worst. So go enjoy your motorcycles. We go out to the desert, do the ATV stuff. But the motorcycle I left up to them. But, you know, the thing about McQueen is he had that friendship with Bruce Lee, and then Chuck Norris used to train him at his house after Bruce Lee passed away. It was quite an experience, but very interesting. Very, very interesting. And, oh, The Great Escape. When he jumped over the fence.
Right.
That was not him.
Oh, he didn't do the jump.
He did not do that jump. That was his buddy who I know, because I was really good friends with his son. I think Bud something or other, the stunt man. That was a stunt man that did that actual jump.
Oh,
there's too much risk involved for the movie for him to do that jump. But he did everything else because he always wanted to do his own stunts, especially driving and all that.
Yeah.
No question.
I heard Monty Cox does his own stunts.
Yeah.
In the eating. You know, if I ever have to be in the great hot dog eating contest, I will play myself.
All right.
All right, guys. I want to tell one feel-good story, and then if you don't mind, TJ, I did Logan Paul, I did this video for, because I'll go into that in a second. After all the riots and all, this is really cool. A teenager named Antonio Gwynn Jr., right? He's in Buffalo, New York. He took it upon himself at 2 a.m. on a Monday to go out into the streets. He grabbed a broom, he got trash bags, he started cleaning the streets all by himself. He's an 18-year-old kid. And when people showed up that morning, a crew to clean, he already got most of the work done. People were so taken with the fact that he did that, that two parties, one awarded him a Mustang, right, that he had, and gave him a Mustang car to drive, gave him his first car, 2000 red Mustang convertible, and another one gave him a college scholarship.
Wow.
Wow. So that just goes to show you, young people out there listening, take it upon yourself to do good things. I'm not promising you you're going to get a car or scholarship, but if you get a pat on the back and you feel good and you do good for people, or if it goes something more like what we just discussed, then you're being a good person. And if anybody has learned anything over the last few weeks, we have to be the best we can be and as good as we can be to each other, no matter what our race, no matter what our religion, no matter anything. We have to be a unified people working together. And I think this is an example of what that's all about. And I was so happy to read that. Now, I do the championship intros, videos, and audios through brucebuffer.com. We talk about it all the time. We had a record month last month with graduations, Father's Day videos coming in, everything, birth of babies, weddings, you name it. Weddings are postponed mostly now, but we're very, very busy. And Logan Paul, the influencer who boxed KSI and has 23 million or more, you know, followers and his YouTube site and all. He came out with a clothing company called Maverick Clothing, and we've become friends. He's very cool. And we did a business deal together where I did this video for him. I filmed it in front of a green screen, but then he took it and edited it into a Logan Paul video. So, TJ, if you have that, can we shoot that real quick? Because it's kind of fun to look at.
You may have noticed I started this thing called the Maverick Club. Basically, it's like a... I'm not gonna explain it. Instead, I'm gonna make this more exciting. I've actually hired my good friend Bruce Buffer to explain it. So, Bruce, take it away.
It's time to join the Maverick Club! Benefits include exclusive weekly content, limited edition Maverick clothing, site-wide discounts, free shipping in the U.S., $10,000 monthly giveaways, members, FaceTimes, and dinners. And they're even giving away Logan Paul's Dodge Challenger. Sweepstakes rules below. I would join myself, but I have no idea who Logan Paul is.